Hey, welcome back to Women's Wellness Radio. Happy to have you back. Happy to have our guest today, Angela Tishy. She is a friend of mine from here in Portland. I reached out to her some time ago because we had a very similar clinic doing yoga and having different types of practitioners, and we've stayed in touch ever since. And I've had a good time seeing her grow and seeing what kind of new tools she adds to her toolbox, some of which she's going to share today. So our topic today is the four pillars of successful fertility. What are they? You have to stay tuned to find out. So we're going to learn some of her new tools and also kind of hear about some of her history. So Angela is a licensed acupuncturist and an integrative fertility coach. She's the founder of the Integrative Fertility Institute, where she trains holistic healthcare practitioners on the eco-fertility method and does an integrative fertility certification course. She has an undergraduate degree in psychology and a master's in acupuncture and oriental medicine. She's a certified health coach and has studied nutrition, neuro-linguistic programming, brain science, positive psychology, yoga therapy, and behavioral psychology. She helps women optimize their health so they can increase their chances of getting pregnant. And we're going to talk more about what's really going on, why sometimes no matter what we're trying, it doesn't seem to be working or we can't seem to implement it. So first of all, welcome Angela.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi. How long have you been practicing now?
It's been 15 years.
15 years. That's really awesome. So what is your story? How did you get into this work? Maybe how did you get into natural medicine? And then how did you get more interested in fertility?
Yeah, so it started all way back when I was an undergrad, and I was studying psychology and working in applied behavior analysis and doing a lot of research. This was back in the day when psychoneuroimmunology was just becoming a thing, and I was really interested in it, and I looked all over the country to try to find some way that I could study this, and There just wasn't any schools, or you couldn't go get a degree in that at that time, which I'm dating myself a little bit. But anyway, so I ended up moving across the country to Oregon and found the Oregon College of Oriental Medicine, and it was a perfect fit. I was like, this is so great. I can study energetic medicine. I can study nutrition. I can study acupuncture and herbs. I was like, this is the perfect fit for me. So I spent a lot of time, well, just to back up a little bit, before when I was in college, I had a friend of mine who was a metaphysical preacher as well. And so we spent a lot of time doing some meditation journeys and kind of really getting in touch with that part of myself that was into this more spiritual world or this kind of metaphysical world. So when I found the acupuncture, I was like, wow, I can actually kind of get in touch with that energetic medicine and actually change physiology through it. So it was pretty cool that it all came together with the acupuncture school. And since then, I've been kind of just learning, you know, all kinds of things. We live in a great city where there's so many different types of practitioners, and yeah, that's kind of my story. And the past, I would say 12 years, when I first started my practice here in Portland about 12 years ago, I had a client who was pregnant, and she was like, I heard acupuncture could help me, you know, induce my labor. And so that was kind of my first like, oh, wow, I can like do this, because she went into labor that day. And so that was pretty exciting. So I started really getting into fertility about maybe 12 years ago. And then shortly after that, I got pregnant and got really into it. So learned it from the get-go, right? So yeah, since then I've been running integrative practice. And I had one in Northeast and one in Southeast. And yeah, so now I'm just here I recently reopened a clinic with doing acupuncture, massage, and yoga here in Portland.
You want to share the name of it and where it is?
the Woodstock Wellness Center. I call it where the hippies do healthcare on Woodstock Boulevard and 45th.
Cool. So you've been in the fertility field a while, and I have been playing around in that field for a while too. And you and I have shared kind of some of the shortcomings and frustrations in that field that we've experienced. So what do you feel are some of the big mistakes that practitioners make when they're approaching infertility?
Yeah, well, I think it goes along with just the way the business of medicine is kind of set up. It's kind of set up in this way where more is better. And so, we're taught in school to kind of do this health history and get all the details of what's going on, and then we come up with a diagnosis and then we treat them. But what seems to be the problem is that we're actually not addressing the root cause of the problem. And in Chinese medicine, we have the ben and the biao, right? We treat the root and the branch. And the branch is the symptom that people are having and they come to us with. But what we really need to do is really address the underlying cause. And we'll say the underlying root cause, oftentimes I see, is, well, they're maybe living in an environment that is not conducive to health. Maybe they hate their job. For instance, I had a great patient the other day who was working so hard, and every day she would come in for, or the every time she would come in for a treatment, she would just be in tears about how she hated her job, and she was trying to get pregnant. But I'm sure I didn't do any testing at that point, but I'm sure her cortisol levels were just out the roof. And she was just a mess, and she was trying to get pregnant, and her cycle was irregular, and she just wasn't able to just maintain her own livelihood, let alone sustain a pregnancy. And so it was really interesting that I took her through what I call the eco-fertility method, where I addressed the physical problems that she was having and started to look at her nutrition, her exercise habits, and she was actually doing really well with a lot of those, because most people who are trying to get pregnant, they do that well. But the problem was is that she had this job that was really the root cause of a lot of her problems. And so we worked together to try to figure out what way she could get out of her job. And that's one of the things that over the past couple of years, I've been really focusing on helping people with creating habit change in their life and creating these new ways of looking at their life that is actually promoting health and wellness and promoting an environment that actually can create a path to pregnancy. And so it's been really fun. And so we got her to quit her job, and she's literally pregnant now. It took like about 3 weeks. It was like the fastest thing ever. But it was a really fun, very straightforward case where she really needed to quit her job, because I felt like that was the big root cause of a lot of the problems. But we're not taught to address how to help people quit their jobs in school, nor do we have time to spend that amount of time with clients to be able to figure out what they want, what's getting in the way of what they want, and how to, create the next steps for help them create the next steps for them to be successful. So in general, I like to look at it like there's four kind of pillars that I look at when I'm addressing a client, and that's the physical, the mental, emotional, the financial, and the spiritual. And if any one of those things is kind of overriding, or there's something going on with them, it can really suppress the functioning and the optimization of our body to be able to do what it's supposed to do. So did that explain it for you?
Yeah, it got me thinking though when you said one pillar is financial. I
Yeah.
thought that was interesting. Can you talk more about that pillar?
Yeah. Well, since I do a lot of fertility treatments and I help people quit their jobs, that's fun. The financial aspect, just in general, like, do you have a job and a career that can help support you and your family if you decide to have one? Fertility treatments are costly. Raising a child is costly. Financial stress can be one of the biggest stressors in your life. Buying a home, getting married, all of those things, huge expenses that we put on ourselves. And what I found, and the research is very clear, is the biggest hormone disruptor is stress. And not only does the stress hormone affect the metabolic system, the immune system, your digestive system, it affects every system in your body. So it's super important to address all of the four pillars in any sort of treatment and any sort of healthcare, because it can cause stress. And it's that chronic underlying stress, which is where a lot of the problems show up in our lives. They cause us not to sleep. They cause us to get chronic colds. So many things.
Okay. Yeah, this is really interesting. So you're saying that often, even if we go to a natural practitioner, they're saying, oh, well, you have, you know, heat or phlegm, or you have some cortisol dysregulation, and they give you herbs or something, but they don't really help you restructure your lifestyle in a way that feels like kind of deeply supportive of your success. Is that correct?
Exactly. Because that's oftentimes we've all treated those people, you probably as well, that work night shift, you know, when they have this underlying heat, and the only way to actually treat the problem is that they need to get a day job, you know, and it's not always practical for people to do that. And so, you know, they have to make choices in our lives, you know, and we all do as well, is like, well, what do you want? You know, do you want a life that is going to potentially, you know, suppress all of the bodily functions that you have? Or do you want a life that's supportive of all of your bodily functions? You know, do you want to have an optimized living experience? You know, do you want to live the best life that you could possibly ever have? So I've come to this place now where I'm so passionate about, I want people to know that there are other ways to do it. And that now that I've had this training to understand, the light bulb has been on now, you know, and I can definitely say that it's changed my life to look at things differently, to surround myself in a supportive environment. And that means, yeah, the physical environment, the mental, the financial, and the spiritual. I mean, those things, and spiritual, that can be that which feeds your soul. It can be very general. A lot of people get hung up in the spiritual aspect. I know I did when I was younger, and people would say spiritual. I'd be like, no, that's too crazy. But, you know, it's your purpose. It's your contribution to the world. And especially people who are trying to get pregnant, you know, that's a big part of their purpose. And so really addressing that and turning that kind of into, you know, a little bit of curiosity there. Like, well, what else is your purpose? You know, do we have another purpose? Because yeah, just like acupuncture is the icing on the cake, bringing children into the world, it's like these are super tiny little important little souls that are very meaningful. And, you know, we need to make sure that they are in a place that supports them as well.
Okay. You know, and I would imagine, Angela, you can chime in on this, but some people might think, well, I'm in a dead-end job and I want to go back to school. But then if I go back to school, that'll get to be a bunch more years. But I would imagine to some extent there's some energetic shifting that happens, even if maybe you're not in your dream career yet, but you're transitioning towards it or something like that. What would you say about that?
I'd say definitely there's, you know, that old saying of 1 degree of change can change the destination. So even people just starting to think about where they want to go, it's really hard to get dropped down in it's like getting dropped down in the woods with no map, right? It's like if we have some sort of idea of where we're going, we can start to create those steps to get us towards where we are, which can really calm the brain down, because the brain is always trying to figure it out and trying to make you feel safe and keep you in a place where there's no change happening. And so that might be a good transition to talk about how that all breaks down, because the brain is actually what is driving a lot of this behavior that we do to keep us safe and in a place where we feel stuck or feel like, yeah, that dead-end job that's just not working. We don't like it, but we're going to stay there anyway. Or we're not making enough, but I'm just going to stay there anyway because it's safe. You know, it's easier than doing something different. And yeah, I would say that's definitely the case.
Yeah, let's talk more. You knew I wanted to talk about the three brains. So maybe you can talk a little bit where you kind of learned some of this theory. And yeah, it's so fascinating, isn't it? I see it in myself too. I think, oh yeah, I really want to do this thing. I'm really meaning to. And And then when push comes to shove, sometimes I'm just like, oh, well, maybe I don't need that thing that much. And there's just something there that's holding me back, you know? So yeah, let's learn more about it. Let's share it with
Yeah,
our
for sure.
listeners.
And yeah, I took this from my mentors, Carrie Peters and Stacey Morgenstern. They're just great and really broke it down. So I'll share with you kind of why we get stuck and what keeps us from having the life that we want and why we keep doing it over and over and over again. And so we'll kind of talk about, and I'm going to break it down into three parts. And so we have like these three. We call it the three brains. And so there's the brain stem, the limbic system, and the cortex. We're going to get a little scientific, but not too much. So don't worry. The first brain to develop is the brain stem, or what we like to call the critter brain. And this is what's kind of in charge of the physical part of your body. So your heart rate, your breathing, your blood sugar, anything that's kind of involved with keeping you alive and breathing. And so it's constantly, taking this kind of survey of what's going on in your body to see, is it safe? Is it not safe? Is it safe? Is it not safe? And so, that's kind of the part of your body that kicks in, the brainstem will kick in, with the fight, flight, or freeze system. And so it doesn't like change. And so this is why I always like to say, we live in this small little bubble of our comfort zone. And whenever we have to step out of it, it's like that's when that system gets kicked in. And so this is why it makes it really hard for people to do anything, because as soon as they step out of it, they feel that feeling of fear or anxiety or, that kind of fight or flight system kick in, and they go, oops, I should stop. It seems scary. There could be a bear out there. But really, it's a normal response. And then there's another part of our brain, the limbic system, which is the part that kind of is the emotion side of it, right? So it gives us our sense of that safety and well-being, and it can like drive us toward or away from any experience that like maybe affect love or the safety and the belonging. And so like I was mentioning, so if you have this like, danger come up, the limbic system will kick in and generate emotions that will kind of promote safety and well-being again. And sometimes the feeling can be fear or anxiety so that we move away from the new experience. And so that's where the emotion part, the limbic system, tries to, what can we do? Should I feel happy here? Should I feel ease here? Or should I feel scared? And then we have the third part of the brain, which is the cortex. This is where I live the most. Us cerebral people tend to live in the cortex area, where it's the logic and the conscious mind, and it's the most human part of us that kind of justifies our choices. So we become experts as we age, justifying everything that we do. It's like almost to the point where we will start to make stuff up because we want to stay safe in that place that we feel uncomfortable a little bit. We will deny it completely. And it's, I'm like an expert at it, like I said. But so like, when you think about doing something scary or doing something that's outside of your comfort zone, your limbic system is like loading up all this fear and anxiety and skepticism. And then the cortex or the human brain is trying to make sense of all of it. So it's coming up with all these reasons to justify the critter brain's reaction of, no way am I doing that. That is not happening. That is way too crazy. And so, one of the things, we can't criticize people for it because they definitely have a good reason. They will come up with very, very good reasons on why they can't do something. And usually it's because, every new experience that triggers this freeze, fight, or flight response, I mean, it's, when you think about it, it's like, I can't do it because I might die. You really won't die, but that's kind of the feeling that people get. So it's super fascinating about that. Let's see.
So that just gets me into a question. If the brainstem, if our only options are fight, flight, or freeze, they don't sound very good. So how do we get out of how do we get into feeling safe into a new situation? How is that even possible?
Yeah. So one of the things is having tools that will kind of help support you and actually bring you towards a new situation. So we call it the ecology. And so there's ecology that holds you and keeps you safe, right? So there's all these things that we create in our lives that, our physical environment, our support system around us, the love and the safety and the belonging. So all those people and all of those things around us, that's what keeps us safe. And so in order for people to change, the thing that they're moving towards has to have all of those things supported. And so there's different tools that you can use to help kind of destabilize the present state, so where you are, and make it very kind of unattractive in a sense, and then use what people want as it's already happened. So it's almost like we call it a little bit of future pacing. So we can go back in and say, hey, this stuff that's happening, like let's say, I don't know, you want to lose weight and you go and you're like, oh, I just can't lose weight. Every time I lose weight, it goes back, because maybe when you have to lose weight, that means that you won't be hanging out at the bar drinking or you won't be going out socially with your friends as much. And so the thought of that is just too much and your brain can't handle it. And so you end up going back because you miss your friends and you want to hang out with your friends. And if you were to lose weight, that wouldn't happen. You'd all of a sudden lose all your friends and your drinking buddies and all of that. So, in order to have that little change, that habit change, we have to set up circumstances and set up an environment that actually supports the growth and the environment that you need. A lot of people get into weight loss and they look at it like deprivation. They're going to lose all of these things that are important to them. And so we kind of use little tools and tricks to kind of help support the person and say, no, but you're going to gain all of these things. Like in the reality of it is most people, they want to lose weight because, they want to look hot in a bikini. But really, when you get to the underlying reason why they want it, they might want to be feel attractive to their husband. They want to have a better relationship with their husband. And so there's this kind of these underlying reasons that we really want to get to. And that's, going back to finding the root cause. When you really find the root cause of what's going on with someone, you can really draw them forward very quickly and be able to allow them to let go of these old habits that aren't working for them without them having to even remember to do it. It's amazing. It's one of the most quick things I've seen, as far as like helping people change their behaviors because they're being drawn, they're being pulled forward with the new environment and the new ecology that's in front of them versus being held back and, strong-armed and pinned down from the ecology that keeps them safe.
Okay. Yeah, that's really interesting. And I bet, do you ever see, say somebody, okay, they want to lose weight and we realize they want a closer relationship with their husband. Does it ever kind of turn at that point and be, maybe what she really wants or needs is to spend more time with her husband or do some counseling together? Or do you ever find that the goal shifts once the root is found?
Yes, definitely. There's definitely some shifting happening. And once people are clear about it, and that's one of the things that in the I'm doing a training for practitioners here soon as we talk about doing an empowered intake. And that is really to discover why it is that why are they there? Why is the client there? Why are people coming in to lose weight? Because at first they'll tell you these really superficial reasons. And then when you get down deep, you start to discover, yeah, there's actually these really profound reasons why they are not only stuck where they are, but why they want to be different. And so really figuring those things out with them. And so, yeah, then that becomes the focus. And it actually is an interesting thing because once that becomes the focus, what starts to happen? They lose weight. They become more happy. They get less stressed. It's like this amazing shift that happens.
Okay. So what they originally wanted can kind of become like a side effect of the work they're doing
It's
too.
almost the symptom, right? It's kind of the branch.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. So I want to learn more about your method, but I would imagine, with fertility too, you and I have talked about this. To a, in a sense, why someone wants to have a child is pretty universal, right? You know, I want to raise them up and go to the park and, you know, have a sense of togetherness and all this stuff. But in another sense, I feel like it can really get to some roots for a woman, especially if she's experienced infertility for a while. Like, who is she? Who is she with a child? Who is she without a child? You know, what does it mean that she's not with child yet? You know, there becomes a lot of these big questions that they start to wrestle with. So from the fertility angle, how does this all play out in the heart and mind of a woman trying to get pregnant?
Yeah, well, there oftentimes is a lot of judgment going on with the women. Mostly I see, you know, like, yeah, why is my body not able to do this? Like, what is my purpose? How am I ever going to, you know, live a fulfilled life if I don't have a child? So there's so many things that come up with clients trying to get pregnant. It's as far as the mental and emotional stuff, it's, you know, what is the relationship to themselves? Do they love themselves? Do they have a lot of family support? Do they have this happiness? Or, yes, is the baby like this other reason that they're doing all of these other things? You know, so again, it can be a similar thing. Like, people come in and they say they want a baby, and then also they might want all of these other things too. So creating an environment where a woman or anybody is trying to do this thing, like getting pregnant, the environment is ultra important, because it is the place at which that's what creates the path. That's what creates the home. So it's super important to me as a practitioner to find out, yeah, are all of those things, the physical, the mental, the financial, the spiritual, are those optimized? Because if we can give a woman that and help them get to what they want and achieve those things, or at least point them in the direction so they're going, everything should start going into alignment. Mm. You know, it's just like, you know, when you stick the needles in and all of a sudden everything balances out, it's a very similar effect. It's, you know, kind of getting the four pillars in alignment and getting their ecology straight, so then they can blossom and they could likely get pregnant, you know, because once those things are in alignment, a lot of things can happen. You know, I would say pregnancy is an icing on the cake, you know, but a right. lot of shifting can happen. And I've seen, you know, just like my client the other day, who, you know, never thought that she could get out of this job. I mean, she was miserable, and literally it was like a week later, we figured out a way to do it. And it's, you know, it's a little bit of counseling, a little bit of faith, and a little bit of tools that we use to help people, you know, bridge that gap. But the thing that holds us back the most is fear. You know, it's fear of the unknown, and helping people and supporting people and giving them those tools to be able to overcome those fears. I mean, I still have fears. I mean, I've been doing this work for 2 years now, and I still, you know, every time I do something new, there is fear that comes up. But now I know that that fear just means that I am going in the direction that I want to go. And I think that's a really good thing to learn.
Yeah. Yeah, especially around trying to get pregnant, I feel like it's really hard to trust. And, you know, you try something new, say you try going to yoga or you try meditation, and then you know, oh, is this even working, you know, and then you get back into the fear. So I really am always impressed when I have a client who is really trusting in her body and the process she's on, wherever it leads. You know, we don't really always know in fertility where it will lead. You know, will we get some kind of medical intervention or will we not? Will we adopt? Will we, you know, get really into like a certain style of eating? And that's the thing that helps. We really don't know. So trusting and enjoying that process is pretty powerful.
And that's what it's all about, right? I mean, if we can have our best life ever, yeah, anything else good that happens is would be pretty awesome. Mm. So that's kind of, I want to read this thing, because I kept trying to find some quote or something that would kind of sum up like what it was that I, with this, the eco-fertility method, and when I was creating it, and what I kept thinking about was this, It's called the World Soul. It's called Anima Mundi. And according to several systems of thought, it's the intrinsic connection between all living things on the planet, which relates to our world in the same way as the soul is connected to the human body. And it says that the original idea was from Plato. And so what he said is, this world is indeed a living being endowed with a soul and intelligence, a single visible living entity containing all other living entities, which by their nature are all related. Plato. Mm. So, and I read that because when I was younger, I watched that movie. Have you ever seen the movie The Matrix? Remember when that was really popular?
I never saw the whole thing, but I know it's referenced so much.
I was really into it. And I was like, oh my gosh, The Matrix is so cool because it's all about the Tao, you know, and it's about this interconnectivity that we all have. And that's the thing, you know, in healthcare is such a great thing. And Western medicine is great for so many things, but there is this piece that's missing that doesn't take into account the entire environment that we are in, and that we are a part of it, and we are all interacting together, and that if we are living our best life and we're healthy and we're emotionally healthy and financially and spiritually and physically healthy and everything is good, then that can permeate everybody, you know? So I think we forget that in a lot of medicine, because we're just treating the symptoms and we're just treating what's presented to us. But there's so much more to a person that is why I really was drawn to create this sort of method, because I truly believe that we have to address everything. And if we don't, then we're really doing a disservice to our clients.
Yeah, you know, when you say as practitioners, we're always trying to, you know, figure things out, it made me think of what you taught us about the cortex, and that's what it does well, and that's what a lot of us in this culture do well. You know, we're so mental, and we're so praised for being mental often, you know, above all else. So I think, yeah, we can do that as practitioners, and certainly my clients trying to get pregnant, and anyone struggling with their health, it's really easy to be like, well, when I find the right diagnosis, when I find the right doctor, you know, when they figure it out with the right lab, then I'll know, then I'll be pregnant. And I think there's something kind of satisfying in that chase, you know, but it can be an endless chase. And really, like what you're talking about with the environment, it's so important and also so much more relaxing than to be in that chase for like the finding the answer all the time.
For sure. And that's also a big part of why I wanted to do the practitioner training, because I feel like that's what we're taught. You know, we're very much taught to do the research, find it out, figure it out, you know, and then we're expected to go back to our clients and fix it. And it's not always that simple. You know, there's a lot of things going on that need to be addressed, and we can't always fix it. And also to think that as practitioners that we're some magic cure is also, that's a big coat to wear. You know, those are big shoes to fill. I don't think I can do that. You know, I don't have a magic cure, but I can definitely guide you to the best sources of things that I know will lead you in that direction. And that's where I think looking at practitioners as more of a guide and really using them for that, and that support and that accountability and the right system, you can do so much with that. And that's where, you know, I think that's where coaching comes in, and doing that work has been so fulfilling, because that's where, you know, I can do the support. I can give them the steps. I can help them come up with their own steps. I can help people, you know, get into the place of they're responsible for what's going on with them.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, the two of us were both doing fertility, and we both kind of morphed it. And I think both for a similar reason, you know, for me, I kind of ended up pulling back and saying, you know, let's talk about women's health. And if you want to get pregnant, that's great. Now you've got this base. And for you, you've learned more about these coaching tools and the environment of that women are in. And so it's, yeah, it's interesting. I think that if part of that journey helping women getting pregnant, you often have to come to that conclusion, like, hey, we got to step back and like have a little healthier perspective on all this. You know, we can't sort of be part of the problem of being in the head and chasing symptoms and all that.
And I see that a lot too with just, you know, I don't know enough, or I need to go back to school, or, you know, I need to do more research, or I need to have all of these things in place before I can move forward. And that is the critter brain. That's exactly what it is. And that fear of doing something different or a little bit outside of the comfort zone. But as we all know, or as I can share with you, is that the magic happens outside of the comfort zone. So
it's true. It's true. So you've hinted about these couple things a little bit, but if I'd love for you to share more. So the eco-fertility method, you've defined somewhat. You want to detail that a bit more?
Just a little bit. I actually, there's four pillars of the eco-fertility method. So there's the physical part of it where we do testing, and that's, you know, hormonal testing and whatever kind of testing seems fit for the person at that time. We talk about nutrition and help people and support them in that aspect. Talk about exercise, you know, what are they doing that they should be doing that they're not doing that they want to be doing. And then we talk about toxins, you know, pesticides, herbicides, environments, your mattress, you know, go through the house, like what kind of support do people need in that? So a lot of what I do is support people and helping them get rid of the toxins, help support them in getting good nutrition. And that might look in a lot of different ways. So for instance, you know, in nutrition part, that might be hiring a personal chef. For some people, that might be getting a cooking class or getting a cooking book. So, you know, really outside of the box, kind of really supporting people in a way so it actually happens. And that's the difference between giving advice and actually supporting someone to create habit change for themselves. So one of the physical part is looking at each system, the digestive system, the hormones, the immune system, the detoxification system, the environments. Like their home environment, you know, is it stressful? Is it not stressful? Is it difficult? Do they have shoes that they need to be able to go running? You know, the really simple stuff, you know, and even going to the point where really clearing the clutter, because we really, clutter can be a reflection of what's going on inside our bodies as well as outside. So then we go into the second pillar, which is the mental emotional. And this is kind of the relationship to yourself, your family support, your emotional stress and your happiness. You know, are you even happy? You know, let's work on that. What can we do? What makes you happy? You know, a lot of people don't even think about what that means for them. And then we go into the financial part. You know, like we said before, fertility treatments can be costly. Just living can be costly. You know, are you working a job that you hate that's not paying you enough? What can we do about that? That's one of my other little passions is I love business. And I love help supporting people to create new businesses or to just get out of a business that they don't like. You know, raising a child is costly as well. And financial stress can be a real problem for people, physically, mentally, everything. That can be a real big problem. So I like to address that in a very serious way and talk about if you're in a career, like, do you need to get a new one? Do you want a new one? You know, what can we do to make that one degree of change so you can point yourself in that direction? And then the final pillar is the spiritual. And like, that's, like I said, what feeds your soul, you know, is that going for hikes, going rafting, you know, surfing, what is it? You know, some people it's crafting or just being outside, spending time with, you know, the grandkids or whatever it is, your purpose, you know, what is your purpose and what is your contribution that you'd like to make to the world? And so just to let everyone on the call know that ecofertilitymethod.com, I have a free gift for everybody. It's a kind of a, there's some nutrition stuff in there, and it's like a guide to optimize your health for fertility. So that's it, ecofertilitymethod.com.
Okay, great. And tell us about how you teach other practitioners to do this work, because I know we've got some practitioners who listen to the show. Is that at the same website or a different site?
It's actually at a different site. That one's at the Institute or the Integrative Fertility Institute.com. And that is, I'm doing a, coming up a 4-week deep dive to teach people how to implement the eco-fertility method into their practice. And that's going to be coming up at the end of this month.
Okay, great. And then again, is it ecofertilitymethod.com for the free gift?
It's the ecofertilitymethod.com for the free gift and the I keep saying institute. That's funny. There's too many institutes. It's the integrativefertilityinstitute.com for the practitioner training.
Okay, perfect. These are great resources, and I love having these conversations that are a little deeper and a little bigger picture about medicine, because I think they're the conversations that sometimes just don't get had enough as we chase the details and the critter brain. And
Right.
it's good, we talk about some very detailed things on the show, and I appreciate it. But we also, we talked about the chakras about a month ago, and there's other ways to look at our bodies and our lives that give it a whole picture, and I think that's important. So thanks for that, bringing that to us today.
Yeah, thanks, Bridget.
All right, and thanks for our listeners. We always appreciate you, and hope you can subscribe on iTunes or whatever podcast player you use. You can also forward the show to a friend. We'd love to have you help us grow, and we love your feedback. We actually have a little quiz open right now to get your feedback on topics you want and ways you use the information, what information you're looking for. And that's at my website, bridgetdanner.com. I'll put the link in the show notes as well. And for completing the survey, which probably only takes 3 minutes, I'm giving away a video guide to charting your cycle using your basal body temperature chart. It's a pretty awesome video guide, actually. I made it for another practitioner who uses it to teach practitioners. So it's pretty in depth. I know my stuff about basal body temperature charting. You can use that for fertility or just to get to know your cycle better. Maybe you're coming off birth control, or you just have some symptoms you're trying to figure out. So just learning your cycle is really powerful. So that's it. BridgetDanner.com, or just go to our show notes and find that link. That link will just be up for a couple more weeks in May, and then we'll take it down. All right. Thanks, everyone. Until next week, take care. Be well. Bye-bye.